The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle Roundtable. We are starting this. It's a new feature for 2022. We bring in writers from an opposing site. Today, we're joined by Alexander Kai and Zach Leslie from Armchair Illinois. Guys, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Yo, thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, for real. Glad to be here.
So Indiana opens up on Friday, September 2nd against Illinois. Illinois does have a game and a win under their belt as they beat Wyoming in week zero, 38-6, behind a terrific performance behind Chase Brown. We'll get to know the Illini. The Illini fans will get to know Indiana a little bit. So let's kick it off, guys. First of all, what should IU and Illinois fans take away from that week zero game against Wyoming?
Yeah, so it's really hard to take away much. You know, Wyoming's not that great of an opponent. They had a lot of attrition. They're a very young team. They come from a pretty weak conference in the Mountain West. And, you know, they lost pretty much all their best players to either the NFL draft or a Power Five school. So really hard to take anything away other than, you know, Illinois did what they should have done. They started off a little bit rough in the first half, but in the second half, they really kicked it up. They're only up, I believe, 17-6 in the third quarter. But, Syracuse transfer quarterback Tommy DeVito really found his rhythm second half, you know, kicked it up a notch. Obviously, Chase Brown was amazing all game. And then they ran away with it 38-6. You know, the offense looked pretty vanilla from what we saw. I think they're trying to keep the playbook close to the vest as they prepare for this week because it is a must-win game for them, in my opinion. And the defense looked really good. You know, they continued their really good stretch of play under new defensive coordinator Ryan Walters. So overall, hard to take away much, but it was good to see the Illini just do their job in a very, very winnable game.
Yeah, and we had a Wyoming beat reporter on our Twitter space about a week ago. And he was expecting the game to be very close. I think he said 4 to 7 point kind of, you know, differential between the two teams. And obviously it was much greater than that. So I was pleasantly surprised that it was 38-6, given the Wyoming side that we had heard from a few days earlier. And I think Alex hit a lot of really, really good points. Defense looked great. Offense looked pretty similar to how it looked in 2021, just in the sense it's very run heavy, very Chase Brown centric. But Tommy DeVito did get going in the second half a little bit, but yeah.
Talk about Tommy DeVito a little bit. He's coming over from Syracuse. He completed over 70% of his passes, for under 200 yards though. Was that just a product of design? Was Wyoming taking away the deep shot? Or is this how Illinois' passing offense is going to be?
Yeah, I think the truth in that is probably somewhere in the middle. I think Brett Bielema and Barry Lunny kind of talked after the game about, you know, they were just kind of taking what Wyoming was giving them, and that happened to be a lot of checkdowns to the running backs or wide receiver screens and stuff like that. Like you said, those kind of like 5-yard completions. So I think Wyoming was trying to take some stuff away, the deep shot, but I also don't think Illinois' game plan was to take many deep shots. So I think the truth of what you're saying there is kind of in the middle. I think, you know, Wyoming schemed a little bit to take away a deep shot, but I also don't think Illinois was really trying to scheme many deep shots open. So it's kind of somewhere in the middle there. But
yeah, definitely agree with that. I think the big thing that Coach Lunny and Bielema wanted to do was establish DeVito. I think because it's been one, obviously it's first game, new offense for all the guys, but Tommy DeVito hasn't played substantial minutes in about 3 years since I believe 2019. So I think they really just wanted to establish his confidence You know, in his Syracuse highlights, the arm's there, but it has been 3 years since we've seen that kind of production from him. He's dealt with injuries the last 2 years. So, like Zach said, kind of in between. It was a little worrisome to see some throws that he missed, especially in the first half. But, you know, he's going to have to make those throws if the Illini want to win this Friday.
All right. We've talked about Illinois last week. Nate, let's turn it to IU for a little bit. This is a game that we as a site have been talking about since probably the Maryland loss last year, except it was Northwestern and then all the schedules changed. But as our friends from Armchair Illini have said, it is a must-win game. And I believe for IU as well, it is a must-win game. What are these stakes for the Hoosiers going into this one?
Yeah, obviously it's really just turning around what we saw last year and kind of deciding if what we saw in 2019 and 2020 from IU is the normal under Tom Allen, or if what we saw last year is the normal under Tom Allen. Because, you know, we came in last year with such high expectations and really like had the highest preseason ranking that we ever had. Really looked good kind of towards the beginning of the season. I still think like we could have won that Cincinnati game. And then really just the season spiraled on us. So we've kind of seen how important those very early games in the season can be. Of you go back to the 2020 year where Penix was able to beat Penn State in that very first game and it changed the momentum of the entire season. And then you look this past year and he had those early losses early on and momentum was very quickly turned, and it can really affect your whole entire season. It can affect the mentality of a team. We've seen how much culture and the mentality of a team can change under Tom Allen and coaches that we've had in the past. So it's extremely important.
Yeah, it's a game that, you know, feeling the vibes around IU, around the fan base, and around the program, it's a game that, yeah, you're right, momentum. And all those good vibes that were from 2020 ended in about the first 3 minutes against Iowa after a long touchdown run and a pick six. But it's a big game for both programs, I think. Let's go to the Illinois side of it. You called it a must-win game. Talk about why it's a must-win game for the Illini.
Yeah, Illinois wants to make a bowl game this year, and like every team, they want to make the bowl game, but there's a sense of urgency here. This is year two for Brett Bielema, and you got to make substantial progress early on, especially for a school like Illinois. You know, otherwise, the sell-in recruiting kind of goes dead, and Brett Bielema has shown a huge urgency to do so. Which I think every coach obviously should, but he fired his good friend, offensive coordinator Tony Peterson, after one season where the offense was arguably the reason that we didn't make a bowl game last year. We went 5-7. Two or three of those games were in our grasp, but the offense just couldn't do literally anything. So Bielema really wants to make a bowl game, and to do that this year, Illinois has made it seem like rocket science, but it really isn't that hard to win six games. And to do that, you got to win the winnable games and your non-conference games. There's a chance to go 3-0 in the non-conference. Illinois plays Chattanooga along with Wyoming, which is very easy for them. And then they play Virginia Cavaliers, who lost a good amount. So the opportunity to go 3-0 is there, but you got to win the toss-up non-conference games, including Indiana. Teams like Minnesota, Purdue, Northwestern, you have to beat those, especially when you have teams like Michigan at the Big House. You know, you have Iowa, Wisconsin on the schedule. Those aren't games that you're likely going to win. So if you want to make a bowl game, you got to get to six, and Indiana is one of those games that you just have to have.
Yeah, I think most Illini fans are hoping that this season starts 4-0. I think when the schedule came out, you know, we had Wyoming, then Indiana, and then Chattanooga and Virginia as those first four games. And I think most Illinois fans are thinking this could be a special season if they start 4-0 and only have to win two of the remaining games to make a bowl game. And maybe you win one or two more games than that, and you're looking at a 7-5 season. And Brett Bielema hasn't really tempered expectations when he talks about this team. So I think most Illinois fans are really hoping that this season starts really, really well. I think Alex and I would both say 3-1 is probably most likely, but hoping that, you know, 4-0 is the start to the season, and that the season could be potentially a pretty special one. So,
guys, thanks again for doing this. I'll just jump in here quick. Obviously, we talked about it at the beginning of the show. Maybe didn't learn a ton from the Wyoming game. Like we said, Wyoming pretty decimated, more of a rebuilding year. But offensively for Illinois, I think 12 different guys had a reception. If you count the rushers, I think there were four other ones. So 16 guys had a touch on offense. Is that week zero, or is that something that we might see this weekend? Is it, are we still battling for spots, or is it truly a let's rotate as many playmakers and as much depth as possible? And then my second part, is that going to be enhanced with Josh McCray already being announced out, which is a huge bummer because he's one of my favorite players in the conference?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, Brett Bielema said after the game Saturday that he was very pleased with how many wide receivers got touches and how many people were involved in the offense. I do think, sorry to answer it this way again, but I think it's kind of a balance of the two things. I think it was a week zero kind of thing where a lot of people got to touch the ball against a weaker opponent. We'll see if they're able to scheme their guys open when competition gets harder and how many of those guys will be open against Big Ten teams as they were against Wyoming's past Saturday. I think that'll play a huge part. I think you will see some shrinkage in the amount of people who are getting touches, especially the wide receivers. But I do think a few wide receivers emerged on Saturday that we weren't necessarily sure how they were going to perform, whether it's Brian Hightower, who kind of proved to be a reliable third down conversion guy for Tommy DeVito when Illinois really needed one. Pat Bryant also stepped up and caught some nice passes as well. So there were a couple guys who I think stood out and gave most Illinois fans more confidence in this receiving group than we had coming into last week, because I think most Illinois fans before last week would tell you that wide receiver may have been one of their concerns just with the depth there. It was Isaiah Williams and then what else? And we think we might have seen the what else on Saturday, but I do think that the wide receiver pool will shrink a little bit as Big Ten play starts, just because it's going to be harder for them to get open. And Tommy DeVito might find his favorite targets as the season goes along. He really wasn't keyed in on anybody this first week, but we'll see if that changes going forward.
And I think for the running game, you know, in terms of McCray being out, you know, Bielema said today that he wants to have at least three running backs ready to go. So obviously before this, it was going to be Chase Brown for sure, and then Josh McCray, and then, you know, one of either Reggie Love, you know, highly touted freshman Aiden Loffrey, or super senior Chase Hayden. So with McCray out, it jumps to, you know, that same three. Aiden Loffrey wasn't available this first week, but he's a highly touted speedy running back, kind of different than what, kind of the polar opposite of what Josh McCray brings. So I do think it will be a little bit more of what Zach was saying with the wide receivers, but given McCray's injury, I do think it might definitely zone in more on Chase Brown, with a couple of those guys getting a few carries here and there.
I'll jump in with a question too, also for you guys, just because I've kind of wondered this. So we just had a story on the IU side of things break about an hour ago of, we released the media guide, but it does not include a depth chart because we've been very secretive about who we want, I guess, what we want to know of for our opponent for this very first game, because it's, we think it's that important. How would you guys say you've balanced the, we wanted a week zero game so that we can kind of get ready, but also we have now four quarters of film to kind of go off of what we should expect to see on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched the Wyoming highlights about four times just to see if there's anything more to take away from it. So I want to say there's things to take away, but I also feel like, you know, just given the situation, there's probably not too much to take away from it. But I do think, you know, from a foundation point of view, they're going to rely heavily on Chase Brown. They're going to rely heavily on these quick hitters, as opposed to taking big shots down the field with Tommy DeVito. I think they like what they have in Brian Howard, Hightower, and Casey Washington to be those move the chains kind of guys. And I think in terms of the defense, they have a very, very athletic secondary. So I think they're going to try to play to that. Obviously with Devin Witherspoon, Quan Martin was amazing on Saturday. So they're going to use those two guys to their advantage. In terms of, in-depth X's and O's, it's really hard to say, will they consistently bring a four-man front? Are they going to do a lot with the barge package that they did last year? Things like that. But I do think the overall bread and butter, which again is just running the football well, not beating yourself. And I think that's Brett Bielema ball, dating back to his time at Wisconsin, and then using an athletic secondary to kind of make some plays for you and help you get the ball back.
Yeah, I think Alex makes a lot of good points there. One thing I wanted to add is most teams have years of film on Chase Brown and still can't stop him. So I think Brett Bielema and Barry Lunny were like, okay, everyone's seen Chase Brown on film. Everybody knows he's great. So we'll rely on him to get us through Wyoming. I heard that Chase Brown did not take a single hit in training camp and many of the practices leading up to this. So he's still kind of finding his feet a little bit too, and they just kind of trusted him that he'd be fine on Saturday. So I do think there will be some wrinkles, especially maybe like the first drive of the game offensively for Illinois. They might show some stuff they didn't on Saturday, but it's a Brett Bielema team at the end of the day. It's going to be Chase Brown up the middle a lot of the day. So they definitely showed some stuff, but I do think that there's going to be some surprises, especially on that first kind of scripted series.
Let's go into the matchups a little bit. And we'll go which matchup, we'll go what you're confident in, what you're worried about, and then maybe as a football fan, which matchup you're excited to watch. So let's start with which matchup can Illinois take advantage of on Friday night?
Yeah, I mean, I would say if Indiana is thinking about throwing the ball anywhere near number 31 for Illinois, that is just a big mistake. Do not do it. No matter how open that receiver looks, he is not as open as he thinks he is. Witherspoon is incredible and was dominant last year and continued it with the big interception on Saturday. And it's just one of those things like, why on earth are you throwing in his direction at all? Like, pick on anybody else except for him. So I feel pretty good about our secondary in general, but Witherspoon is a beast there at cornerback. And we had some more defensive backs emerge on Saturday, even after losing guys like Kirby Joseph last year. Many people were wondering, is this defense going to be able to carry on the same level that they had last year, that they did last year? And Witherspoon and company showed on Saturday that they're still pretty legit and will be a force to be reckoned with on defense. So I would say defensive backs I feel good about in general, but just don't throw at Witherspoon.
In terms of the matchup that I think Indiana can really take advantage of, interior offensive line is probably a huge weakness of Illinois. Alex Pilstrom, former walk-on tight end, is the center. It's his first year at center, playing substantial minutes there. And then they got two JUCO transfers, Isaiah Adams at the left guard and Zy Chrysler at the right guard, who are talented prospects. They look the part, but, it's their first time playing Big Ten football. It's their first time playing, together with Julian Pearl, Alex Pelcheski, who are very experienced as well. So Zy Chrysler really, really struggled. He even got benched midway through the game for, a senior in Jordan Slaughter. So I think that's an area where Indiana can really take advantage of. And Tommy DeVito, he didn't get sacked, but he did get sacked a lot at Syracuse. So if there's anything to be worried about, I definitely think it's the interior defensive line. And then special teams, I think Illinois struggled a little bit in terms of kicking field goals. So if Indiana can bend but not break, or limit Illinois to trying to kick field goals, especially past 35 yards, I think Indiana could really take advantage in those situations.
Yeah, just to piggyback off that a little bit, we had a couple drives going against Wyoming early, especially, that were just derailed by penalties, specifically on that interior offensive line. So I do definitely agree with Alex in the sense that I think that's an area that Indiana can kind of exploit, and the kicker as well. Our kicker Caleb Griffin tried a 51 yarder on Saturday, and it was just real bad. So you might see Illinois go for it on fourth down. I like the 25 yard line. You're like, what are they doing? And it's because they can't kick. So
he missed a 40 yarder too, right? Something like that inside 50, like a 42 yarder as well. Yeah,
that one was real close. The 51 yarder was just horrendous.
Yeah, so. Zach was at the game, and I think he was saying that the guy missed it by about 20 yards.
That's not good. Yeah, it was one of those.
Nate, let's go to you on the IU side of things. We'll split these up. What matchup are you most looking forward to that IU could take advantage of? And I'll cover which one probably keeps us up at night.
Yeah. Okay. So I was going to pop right off of what Alex had said of, I think Illinois' interior offensive line kind of struggled last week. I mean, Chase Brown obviously like was able to rush a lot, but I kind of feel like when you get up against the athletes that we have compared to the athletes that Wyoming has, one of IU's big question marks is replacing Michael McFadden. So there will be a little bit of the change in the front seven, but I feel like going after that, the center that you said is converted over from tight end and was just playing his first game. I know he had a couple of holding penalties on Saturday. So I feel like attacking that and really limiting and forcing DeVito to beat us instead of Chase Brown to beat us is what I'm most excited to see.
Yeah, Chase Brown worries me the most. He's a guy, he's dynamic. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. And it always seems like the other team's best player always beats IU. Maybe not recently, but he's a guy that you know, if you're IU, you're scheming, don't let Chase Brown beat you. Tommy DeVito throws for 400 yards. Sure. You know, let him throw for 400 yards, but don't let Chase Brown, you know, pop off for a couple hundred yards and another three touchdowns. IU has been good in that in the past. Kenneth Walker last year, they held to way under 100 yards. I think his lowest output that they, outside of a kick return against Penn State, they did well with Saquon Barkley. So they're good keying on that run game. But man, Chase, he's good. He's good, dude. He's one of the top backs in the conference. And, you know, because he plays at Illinois and, you know, because some guys play at IU, they don't get the national coverage, like some schools in the Big Ten, but he's really good and he'll keep IU fans up at night. We'll go back to Alex and Zach. Oh, go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, I was gonna add in. I feel like what scares me the most with him is honestly the rushing will come, but I kind of trust Allen's rush defense. What I more fear is that I think it was like the second or third play of the game that you guys had this past weekend where he just got out in coverage. I think a linebacker was supposed to be on him, but no one really was on him, and he was just wide open for a touchdown. Like him in the receiving game is what kind of scares me of having our Husky, a linebacker, a bolt, someone on him and trying to cover him in space as a receiver, that will keep me up.
Yeah, I wrote about my desire to see Chase Brown a bit more involved in the receiving game, knowing what Illinois likes to do and could be an easy outlet for Tommy DeVito as he looks to get going. One thing I think will be interesting, as you mentioned, like let Tommy DeVito beat you. I think a way that could happen is if IU takes the lead first and Illinois has to play from behind. I think that's really where you might see Barry Lunney, the first year offensive coordinator of this team, maybe panic a little bit. I don't think Brett Bielema will, and he'd be real patient with the run game, but I do think if you can take the lead first and hold it for a little while, you might see Illinois start to panic a little bit offensively, but we'll see.
Yeah, let's go. Zach and Alex, what's the matchup? If you're a casual football fan on Friday night, tuning into Fox Sports 1, what's the matchup that you're looking for?
You know, I really think that these are two pretty similar teams in terms of style. They're going to try to slow the game down a little bit. I know Tom Allen has a big emphasis on defense. I know that Brett Bielema also has that same emphasis as well, and really controlling the tempo of the game and try to play on their own terms. Like Zach was saying, if Indiana jumps out to an early lead, I'm really interested to see what Barry Lunny decides to do, because I do think that early touchdown that we had against Wyoming really, really benefited them. And it really allowed Tommy DeVito to sort of settle in a little bit, make some mistakes, and sort of get his feet wet, especially after being out for so long. So I'm really interested to see who makes the first move or who throws the first punch, so to speak. Does Illinois come out, you know, win the toss, get a good return, get Chase Brown going for a touchdown, or does it kind of stall out, or Indiana comes out hot? You know, that's the biggest thing that I'm looking for, because I do think who scores first will really determine the tone of the rest of the game.
Yeah, and knowing the IU fan base, if they get behind early, it's going to be a, uh-oh, here we go again. I don't know how it is with Illinois.
Same here.
But I don't know if Big Ten didn't have their mics up or what, but it looked like a good crowd on TV, but it didn't sound like it like it was a good crowd. But it's you guys know as well as I do, if Illinois scores first, they'll take the air out of Memorial Stadium, and you know, if IU scores first, they'll grab the momentum and gain some confidence. Go ahead with did you both give your matchups that you wanted to watch?
Yeah, we both got some antsy fan bases, on a side note.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, we do. Nate, let's go to you. As a casual fan, who are you tuning in to see play against each other?
I'm going to go IU-centric with who I'm tuning in to see. And I really just want to see who starts at quarterback for us. We've got the Tuttle experienced guy that, like, we've seen the highs of highs of always go back to that Wisconsin game and the empty stadium, the COVID year, of just like him completely gritting out that victory. And I remember he got injured at part of the game, went back to the locker room. He came back out and it was just, there was no crowd there. And even if there was a crowd there, they wouldn't be cheering for Tuttle, but it just seemed like that Disney movie moment where he came running out of the tunnel and he had been cleared from concussion protocol. And I was like, yes, we've got our guy back. And we ended up winning on the road at Wisconsin, which was just wild. And then we've got the unknown of the SEC freshman of the year a couple of years ago, of Connor. And I think he could be great. I really don't know what we're going to see from him, but they've kept it quiet in camp. They kept it quiet from media, from fans, from everyone. So I that's what I'm most excited to see. I hope if we win the coin toss that we elect to receive, just because I want to see who runs out on the field for that first play.
We won't receive the kick. That's just not
time. I know we never will, but we take a touchback too, or yeah. Fair catch.
Man, you guys sound like Illinois fans.
We are very similar. We got Memorial Stadium's Assembly Hall, or you have the State Farm Center now, but we're on the same page. For me, it's I want to see like a healthy Tywin Mullen and all the guys who got hurt last year come back and play well. You know, maybe a Tywin Mullen, Isaiah Williams matchup in the secondary would be fun to watch as an individual matchup. And then seeing Cam Jones and Chase Brown matchup. You know, Cam Jones is Indiana's stinger linebacker. He's key to stopping the run game. And seeing those two go at it would be pretty fun. I we could do predictions, but I'm going to guess that Alex and Zach are going to pick Illinois to win, and Nate and I are going to pick Indiana to win. So, you know, maybe give, you know, one final thing you're looking forward to as IU starts and Illinois starts Big Ten play for the rest of the 2022 season.
Yeah, I want to make a point about Isaiah Williams. I know you mentioned him. They did some pretty interesting things with him, I thought, on Saturday. I think most Illinois fans were frustrated a little bit last year with how they chose to use Isaiah Williams as a wide receiver. Brandon Peters had kind of zeroed in on him throughout the year. But Barry Lunny basically refused to have him in one-on-one matchups with defensive backs. They did a lot of wide receiver screens with him to basically say, hey, here's the ball in space, go do something with it. And they did that a lot on Saturday. We'll see if that continues on Friday night, but I'm interested to see how Barry Lunney, offensive coordinator, kind of schemes Isaiah Williams open, and if it will be kind of throwing it to him in the backfield and just tell him to go make something of it and break a few tackles and see what happens, or if they will try to take some more shots with him and do something a little different. But I'm glad you mentioned Isaiah Williams, because I think it was pretty interesting how they used him this past weekend, and I think it'll be interesting to see how they kind of choose to use him this coming weekend too. So,
and he's good to go this weekend, right? It was just cramps that he was out for.
Yep.
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, to kind of just give my prediction, honestly, it may surprise you, but I'm actually picking Indiana to win.
Oh, wow.
I just, you know, I've been here as an Illinois fan. I'm sure you guys probably feel the same, vice versa. In a must-win game, you know, hype buildup from week one or week zero for us. I just, for some reason, I'm just used to Illinois kind of falling short. And, you know, on the road, I do think Indiana is going to come out, throw the first punch, which ultimately will tell the tale of Illinois not being able to, you know, get anything going from the passing game. I wasn't 100% convinced, like some of the other fans, about Tommy DeVito. Think he showed a little bit of inaccuracy that kind of worries me for a Big Ten game. So I'm not very confident. I do know it's a must-win game, but I think it's the jaded Illinois football fan kind of speaking right now, where I say Illinois probably falls short. And I think it's going to be a low scoring game, but I think it's going to be one of those, you know, 21-17 kind of games that Indiana pulls out. But I'm hopeful, because like I said, Illinois needs this game if they really want to make a bowl game this year.
Yeah. Some people in the fan base call us pessimists. I just would call us realists. But the one thing that's kind of given me hope and my kind of prediction, I do think Illinois will pull it out, only because I think they played really well on the road last year, a lot better than they did at home. They really struggled in Champaign, but, you know, beat Penn State in 9 overtimes last year. And there were a couple other moments last year too on the road where they were much better than they were at home. I mean, just interested to see if that continues and if their strong road play kind of rolls on in 2022. So I saw that Indiana is about a 3-point favorite right now. And I saw some Illinois fans that were mad about that, like, we're underdogs. I'm like, they're not going to put a 5-7 team from last year as favorites on the road in the Big Ten. Like, that's just not going to happen. So I do think it'll be close, but I'll say Illinois will pull it out, but I also wouldn't be surprised if it went the other way too. So.
Yeah, I expect a close game, and anytime you get a close spread like that, home field does come into effect, and usually home field's worth around, you know, 2 or 3 points. So it's kind of a pick 'em game to give your Illinois fans kind of a breather. But Nate, you know, going into this, what's your pick for the game?
I will agree with Alex. I do think that IU is going to pull this one out. I think home field actually will have a big part of it. I saw the Indiana on the road for the very first game against a Big Ten opponent last year, and I saw how that went, and it was not good. But I think being at home under the lights, just kind of, I don't know, I'm cautiously optimistic. It seems like a different attitude around the team this year. Hopefully they've kind of figured out that, like, the preseason hype doesn't really matter that much, and it's actually what you do on the field that matters. So I'm thinking they come out kind of ticked off with how everyone has talked about them for the last year, and hopefully show out. I think it will be close, but I think IU pulls it out.
Yeah, I agree there. I think it's going to be a sneaky good game, not one that you're looking at your game sheet going, oh, I got to tune into this one, but one, you know, by midway through the first quarter, it's a close one. It's a power conference game. And, you know, unfortunately, IU and Illinois don't play all that much anymore. But it should be a good rivalry game. And I've been dying for them to play annually and things like that, since we're so close and, you know, proximity wise and all those things. But I do think You know, the feel around IU camp is a lot different than it was last year. There's a more of a sense of purpose, not resting on their laurels. But it's going to be a close one. And I think it's going to be a good game. And maybe it's one of those games for either team that you'll see pop up in the summer on BTN on, you know, one of those 2022 classic games. So, but I'm going to take the Hoosiers in a close one. I do think it'll come down to field goal kicking as well. You know, Charles Campbell is one of the best kickers in the conference. He did struggle last year, but I'm going to take the Hoosiers. Anyway, Zach and Alex, thanks for joining us. Tell fans where they could find you on the internet.
Yeah, so you can follow us on Twitter at Armchair Illini. We do a lot over there. We also just launched a website about a month ago, and we've been writing articles like crazy over there. A lot of coverage on this football team. Alex just posted an article yesterday for our latest top 50 basketball commit. I know both of us, IU Illinois, there's a lot of basketball to go around during this time too. So we're kind of covering all bases there at armchairillini.com. And we have a podcast of our own called the Armchair Illini Podcast. And you can follow us and listen to us and read us at all those places. So.
All right. Well, thank you guys. If you are coming down to Bloomington, enjoy your time. If you need any recommendations, reach out on Twitter. But we appreciate it. We enjoyed the roundtable. Hopefully we could do this again. Nate, thank you very much as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle, at HoosierHuddle.com as well. We'll have everything preseason, pregame-wise leading up to the game. IU and Illinois kick off at 8 o'clock Eastern in Memorial Stadium in Bloomington on Fox Sports 1. Guys, enjoy the game. Good luck the rest of the season as well. And we'll see you again.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate this is awesome. Appreciate it, guys. Hope we do this again. Thanks.
Yeah, this is fun.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Oh, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.